from Acts chapter 4, from verse 1 to verse 31. And now as they spoke to the people and the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they had taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power do you, or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, we this day are judged for one good deed done to a helpless man. By what means has he been made well? Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. They marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred amongst themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, 'Why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The king of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you have appointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were together gathered to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of the Lord with boldness. This is the word of the Lord.
Today's courage in the face of threats. I'm your lay assistant, and our speaker is Dr. Michael Onimole.
Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. 2 weeks ago in Mina, we held a meeting. A meeting was held in our home. Leaders of the Gbagi ministry of Capro gathered. There were about four of them, including our elderly missionary, Sister Mama Vic. We call her a very loving elderly lady. We met in my house, and We shared stories and plans of how to further the work of the church, the Gbagi ministry in Niger and Kaduna State. And during this meeting, they shared some really horrifying scenes of threats. In Rumana Gbagi, for instance, the church in Rumana has been attacked twice, and in each time there were casualties. The first time, two people were killed. The second time, the chief of the village and his brother and about four others, amongst whom were Christians, were killed. And a lot of their property was taken away by Fulani herdsmen. In another village, Bago, Kago, while we were in the meeting, a phone call came through that in Kago they were right then being attacked and that we should just pray. And so we prayed and we thank God because the river flowing just by Kago became a hindrance from them crossing over. They were seeing them from the other side. They were shooting and killing, but the brethren in Kago escaped. So we find that these are the kind of scenes we see these days and hear of. Before, there used to be things that we used to hear of from afar in Borno, but now they are close to us. And then the question is, what do we do? Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for this morning as we consider this important topic of courage in the face of threats. Threats to our very existence. Threats to the work of ministry. Threats to which so often we don't know what to do. But we thank you that they are happening. But we above all thank you because you have an answer. So speak to us this morning, Lord, we pray, and strengthen the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name we have prayed. When we read this sort of story of what happened to the disciples, the apostles, they're just stories. But it's becoming a reality today in our own country. We used to hear of things funny like this in Borno. We say, oh, in Borno, oh Lord, please help them. Then it came down to Jos, down to Benue. And for us in Niger State, for instance, it has come to Shiroro local government area, which is just about an hour's drive from Minna. So we know these are realities. Driving to Abuja, for instance, is, you just don't know, you just feel, well, God, please take me and bring me back safely. And I want to say that some of the stories that look so far off, far-fetched, is also becoming a reality in the Southwest. And I know that, for instance, a meeting that was planned last year to hold in Ife, and some of our brethren came in from the U.S., that meeting had to be canceled because the journey to Ife was threatening, and nobody would take the risk of allowing them to go. So, what do we do? What does a threat mean? I checked the dictionary and it says, a threat is a statement of an intention to inflict harm, pain, injury, damage to a person or to a group of people. It's an attempt to cause menace of bodily harm, such as may restrain a person's freedom or action. Then there is, we talk, how do we counter threats? There is a need to be bold. There is the need to know the source of your threat. Many times when we talk about threats, it seems nebulous. But you need to know what the threat and where it's coming from, why it is coming, and then how do you handle it. So you need to have intelligence and understanding of how to handle threats. I'll talk about this at the end of the message because it's one area that the church today and many of us as individuals seem to be ignorant about. To have clear-cut intelligence and understanding of how to deal with threats. We also need to understand that the dynamics of the threats that we are talking about in the church. When I read Acts chapter 9, and particularly the story of Paul's conversion, in verse 4, he says, "Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And this opened my eyes to understand that first and foremost, the threat is not against the church or me, but it's against who? Jesus, God. See, when we understand this, it changes our worldview. It changes our understanding. When you know, it's just like when carelessly we thought, it's Borno. It is those people there. It's not us. But when it comes close and it hits one or two people close to us, like 2 weeks ago, I was in Boku, and I was told that one of my spiritual sons had been kidnapped and finally was rescued. I was shocked to my marrow. Sema, how come I didn't hear? I was traveling from Abuja to Jos, and they picked him up. And fortunately, his friends gathered money, and one of them went into the bush to make the payment. But what shocked me was the fact that they told Ibrahim, who went to pay the money, that even if you people pay, we will still kill him. Why? Because he was thief. And Fulanis and thief, you know, is petrol and fire. But then, one of the kidnappers, understood thief and had been conversing with him. And discovered that this thief man is different. He had, I think, opportunity to share the word of God with him. So he told his colleagues, "No, you can't kill this man. We can't kill him. We have to leave him. We have to release." So that's why Sema was released. We have to understand that the threat, first and foremost, is to God. It's not us. It's when we have this understanding, then we know that Jesus said, "You are threatening me." And fortunately, I was so encouraged by this passage that Jesus knows how to handle threats. Hallelujah. How did he handle Saul? Jesus poked his hand into his eyes. And I want to say this, everybody threatening the Lord, threatening us and threatening the Lord, you know what God will do? He will poke his hand into their eyes. He will do that. Anyone threatening you because of Jesus, not just because you have misbehaved. You know, 1 Peter tells us we should not suffer as what? Murderers or thieves or busybodies in other people's business. But when we suffer as Christians, as God's children, then we should glorify God. For herein we were called. For Christ suffered, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. So we can be sure of one thing. If we are following Jesus, we will face threats. We will face intimidation. We will face persecution if we are following Jesus. So the source of the threat itself is because we follow our master. Not because we are misbehaving. A lot of Christians today are suffering because of misbehavior. Some are suffering persecution because they just won't behave themselves. Like we talked in the Bible, in the Sunday school this morning, an example was being given. An outreach was to be held, and they had to seek permission either from the community, and of course, later on they discovered they held a vigil, and during the vigil they disturbed everybody in the area. When you do that, you will receive threats. If you don't allow your neighbors to sleep, and you are drumming in the night, and shouting and making a lot of noise, and they think, okay, after 1 hour he will keep quiet. But 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, till the early morning, you will receive threats the following morning. A copper doctor had that problem in Katsina. He was praying in the night, and I guess he was praying in tongues and making a lot of... The following morning, his neighbors came and met him and said, Likita, inka kwana nan garin, sai mun yanka ka. So he had to leave. That he was told, if you stay any longer, we'll kill you. So he had to leave. But he could have been a Christian in that community, still pray, and yet he would have created an atmosphere of friendliness and godly relationship that would have enhanced his ministry there. But lack of understanding and knowledge created that kind of problem. Many of us suffer persecution because of things like that. We create the problem. Amen? Now, the disciples in this case, that wasn't the case. They had done something good, but they were also preaching. And then, as they spoke about Jesus, the persecution started. So what are we supposed to do? What did they do in their own case? In dealing with the threat that they faced, the Lord said, do not worry. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 27. And then in Matthew 10, it tells us, even the hair on your head is numbered. And I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. Be wise as serpents. So don't worry. Also be wise and intelligent. Have understanding of your environment. You don't do things in an environment that you ought not to do. Because years ago I was listening in one of our evangelism training programs when late Reverend Panyam Baba was sharing with us that when you go into a community, you must be culturally sensitive. For instance, he gave the example of a pastor who came from an area of the north where they eat dog meat. And he was in an area working where it was anathema to eat dog meat. And some children had, a lorry had knocked or run over a dog, and the dog was dead. And some children just tied a rope to one of the legs and were dragging it around. And this pastor said, he looked at this thing and said, Kai ganama, kai nabanza. You know, that look at meat being wasted. But he dared not touch it. He said he knew what he came into the community to do. He had come to preach the gospel. So he would not, because of meat, ruin his work. And literally, many of us, because of meat, we ruin the work. For instance, you don't go into a community, especially in the north. One of our coppers was in Yobe State, in Nguru, and it was hot. And he wanted to feel free. He wanted to put on, just go around in shorts. But he knew that in that community, you don't go out of your house and expose your extremities, your legs, your arm, and things. They call you Megajerian Wando. That means you are in shorts. So there is nothing you preach that anybody will listen to you. Females, for instance, you go around without covering your head, you are considered a prostitute, and they will treat you as such. So when you do some of these things, you will incur persecution and threats to your well-being. So have understanding, make sure you know the environment, make sure you understand the culture among those people in which you live. Many of us don't even understand the culture of what or the people we live with, and we don't know how to relate with them, especially many of us who come from the South and Southwest in particular. I want to say this, that I hope there are no Americans here, but we often behave like Americans who feel the whole world ends in America. Nowhere else. You know, you can have the baseball and they say it's World Series and it's never stepped out of it. You understand what I'm saying? So some of us, especially from the Southwest, have that kind of mentality. We say, I want Gambari. I want Aruku. I want Araoi Okeoya. You know? And unfortunately, it has come to prove to us that they are smart. Our Fulani brethren are smart. They have planned 50 years ahead. You are still struggling now. You don't even know your left from your right. They have planned succession. They have succession plans. Or who will take over from Buhari? Some of us are deceiving ourselves to say, it will be our next one. So, but we're not talking about politics now. We're talking about how do we survive and thrive. Why? Because two things. The purpose of God, he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive what? Power. After the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. So the purpose of God for the church and for each individual Christian is to be a witness for him. And this is power play. The people who were attacking or threatening the Christians, the church, they themselves were feeling threatened. I want you to know, anybody who threatens you, get this understanding from the beginning that he already feels threatened. He feels you are a threat. That's why he's threatening you. When two people live together and there is no feeling of threat, nobody threatens each other. But the moment he feels this guy is going to, he's threatening me, he's threatening my well-being, then let me strike first. So the tendency is that mentality of wanting to preserve themselves. So those who threaten Christians feel threatened. I was listening to a tape on social media just last week, and I was shocked at what I heard. I said, so I now have a better understanding of how the fundamentalist Muslim thinks. They feel threatened. The statement going around now is the Christians want to take over the whole nation. They have gone, you know, they quoted one of the adverts that said, I think maybe you've seen it, that 20 million Bibles want to be distributed all over the north of Nigeria. That is creating problem. It's creating a shockwave in the north. Because they've had this belief that, let them preach in English. Who will listen to them? But now you are saying the average northerner will be able to have a Hausa Bible to read. That is, fire has been set in our midst. So the threat comes because they feel threatened. So the next thing I want to say this morning is, the first thing is we must pray. The disciples prayed. They prayed and they allowed the Holy Spirit to guide them. When we pray, God answers. Amen? And when, how did God answer? The Bible says the place shook and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Why did God do that? God's gift of the Holy Spirit is the means of saying, I have come to help you. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to empower, to strengthen, and to motivate, and to move us on to do His will. Amen? When the Holy Spirit takes over, He sets the ball rolling. He pushes the frontier. It is the Holy Spirit who guides God's people. It is the Holy Spirit who motivates them. It is the Holy Spirit who energizes them. It is the Holy Spirit who guides and leads. So we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you are threatened, go back to God. Say, Lord, help me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. And when God fills you with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is not a spirit of intimidation. Say, God has not blessed us, given us spirit of what? Fear. 2 Timothy chapter 2. God, chapter 1 verse 7. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? Power and of love and of a sound mind. So when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are filled with power, you are filled with intelligence and understanding. Now I want to touch on the issue of intelligence. One of the biggest problems we have in the church today is lack of intelligence. And I discovered in chapter 9, God gave the church understanding of intelligence. What do I mean by intelligence? Intelligence in the sense that not just mental intelligence, but intelligence to be able to gather information that we can use to help the church. Look at the response of Ananias when God said, go to a street called Straight in verse 11, and there you will find Saul of Tarsus. And what was Ananias' reply in 13? He said, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done. If you read on, you see that the church had an intelligence network. They had information. They knew Saul's whereabouts. They knew what Saul was coming to do. They were not ignorant. They were ready and they knew what to do. The church today, and many of us as who work even in offices, we don't have information. Things happen around us and we don't know. We are ignorant. No Christian should be ignorant. Please turn to your neighbor and say, please don't be ignorant. In business, many of us are ignorant. I suffered from that some years back. I remember several years ago when the value of the stock market will crash. Two things happened. One, I had a dream that interest rates will go up to 34%. By that time, it was 12%. I couldn't believe it. 34%? I went to the bank and I asked the manager, what's the interest rate? He said it's 12%. I said, are you sure? He said, yes. I didn't say anything. 2 weeks later, interest rate went up. I had a debt, because I was in business then, I had a debt of about 10,000 naira. In less than a year, because I was using overdraft, it had risen to 40,000. If God had warned me and I didn't take action, I didn't do what was necessary, I suffered for it. But God redeemed it later on. So we should have understanding and intelligence. The other thing was, again, God showed that the stock market will crash. It will come down. And that the value of stocks will fail. Then my family, we had a stock in First Bank. And God said, sell. I had a friend who was in stock who said, stocks will go up, stocks will go up. Stocks will go up. But God was saying, sell, sell. Honestly, I felt bad because the value at that time was about 5 million. How much is stock now? First Bank. That has become, that same stock put together is less than 500,000. Again, we suffered that as a family. Now, apply that to understanding threats. If you don't understand and have information, you will suffer loss. If you don't understand and have information, you might even lose your life. So these threats come because we lack information, we lack understanding and how to manage it and respond. Now, God's response was to go on the offensive. And I want to say this, that for God and the kingdom of God is that when we are threatened, God expects us to fall back, not into retreat, but re-strategize, recoup, and then relaunch an attack. God never withdraws. He doesn't retreat. When Saul was attacking the church, God attacked. God attacked him. God made him blind. God encountered him. So what we pray is, what we do is we don't attack people. We pray. Our attack means is to pray. To pray and tell God to deal with every threat. And look at what the disciples said. They said, God. That's where we would round up. Listen to what their prayer was. They didn't pray, Lord, deliver us. Lord, kill them. They didn't say, Lord, break their necks. What did they say? He said they went back and they prayed. They raised their voice and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all of them. Why do the heathens raid, the nations raid and all that? The kings of the earth say, but what do you do? In verse 30. Verse 29. Now, Lord, look at their threats and grant who? Your servants. Boldness that they might speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal. Heal who? Heal the enemy. One of the prayers that we pray now is this. Lord, enter into the camp of Islam in Nigeria. We pray for the conversion of the Sultan of Sokoto. Can you imagine Sultan becoming a Christian? Does it look impossible? If God could get Saul, can he not get him? God can make him. And let me tell you, the Sultan is afraid of being converted. Sorry. I'm telling you the truth. They are afraid of their children being converted. So we pray for the Sultan to be converted. We pray for the Shehu of Borno, Lamido of Adamawa, Sarkin Kano, Sarkin Sokoto, and Sarkin Katsina, all those people, we are praying for their conversion. For the Imams and the Sheikhs to come to know the Lord. So we should pray for their conversion. Amen. We should also note the three things for the purpose for which God has given the church. One, to build. This you find in Acts chapter 12, verse 24 and 25, and chapter 13, verse 1 to 5. Number one, to build and grow financial, material, and human resources. That's the first thing God wants for the church. Secondly, to build the church leadership. We are told that in chapter 11, the church was called Christians for the first time. So we need to understand that God wants us to build the church leadership. And thirdly, to be willing and ready to be on the go. Many of us think missionaries, let's support them. But God wants you and me to be ready to go. Paul and Barnabas were jejely sitting in church and in the prayer meeting. What did God say? Separate for me Paul and Silas. And I believe soon, when we pray, we hear God saying, separate for me, Tao, Emma. Yes, God will say that. Don't be surprised. God will say that even for her children. God will say, separate for me, so and such a person's son or daughter. And when God says that, please don't stop there. Some of us will say, how can you say God called you? You want to go into that bush and get killed? When God sends your child to Zamfara, don't stop him going. Hello? If God sends them to Niger State, we'll open the door, we'll take care of them for you. Praise the Lord. So finally, the willingness to go. The willingness to pay the price. The church has a wrong doctrine as the base of the problem we face today. There is a wrong doctrine. Me, I no go suffer. I no go beg for bread. Is the wrongest doctrine. Muslims are ready to die. Christians are not ready to die. I pray that we understand that God did not call us to live. He called us to come and die. He says, he that's ready to die, he will preserve his life. But he who doesn't want to die, what will happen? He will die. And I found that those who are saying, I'm ready to die, they don't die. Brashe Gunkuti, elderly, maybe 80, he was telling us yesterday, he said, I'm ready to die. And I said, Bora, you can't die. That's why you are. If you say today, I don't want to die, you will die. But when I say, I want to die, I'm ready to go. I say, you can't go. The same thing, retired Bishop Issa, he says, my plot of ground is ready. I want to go. I want to go. I want to go. Every day I go to him, he will say, I'm tired. I say, Baba, you can't die the way you are talking. So many of us don't want to die. Let us change our theology and doctrine. Tell God, Father, I'm ready to die. I'm ready to pay the price, if need be. And I can assure you, even when bullets are flying around you, God will preserve you. But it's not just for us to live. It's to live for Christ. To live to preach the gospel. To live to be willing to go. To live and be willing to give up our resources for God to use. Praise the Lord. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? This morning, as we bow, please, I would like you to pray for yourself. Pray for yourself and pray for the church. Pray that God, in mercy, will touch us to change our understanding. Those who died to make sure that the gospel is established and reached us, you are willing to die. Can you ask God this morning? Say, Lord, you died. You laid down your life. The apostles died and laid down their lives. Tell God this morning, I'm willing to lay down my life. If that is all that you need so that the gospel and the lives of the church will be preserved. But you cannot give your life if you don't know Jesus. There are some who are here this morning, you still don't know this Jesus. If you die, it will be a waste. You'll go to hell. Can you commit yourselves to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I don't know you, but I want to know you this morning. I open my heart and I surrender to you. That when I face threats, I will have assurance that even if I'm killed, I will end up with you. Thank you, Lord. Is there someone here this morning who is saying, Jesus, come into my heart? If you are, can you pray this prayer? Can you just say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my heart to you. I open the door of my heart to receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Come in and reign. In Jesus' name we pray. So, Father, we ask that you will glorify yourself in the lives of each of us here. We ask that today you make a difference. We ask that the yoke of tyranny of sin and of the devil over us individually and our nation, let it be broken in Jesus' name. We plead with you, O God, for the salvation of all our Muslim brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. We particularly pray for those of us in the South who don't seem to understand our left hand from right hand, who don't understand the kingdom principle of giving up so as to gain the kingdom. Lord, deliver us from this ignorance in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that the onslaught of Islam over Nigeria be broken today in the name of Jesus. Please touch our President Buhari. Touch him. Bring him to Jesus. Touch our Chief Justice. Bring them to Jesus. Touch the Sultan of Sokoto. Bring him to Jesus. Go into their families, Lord. Bring their children to Jesus. Lord, we love them. Save them. In Jesus' name we pray.